We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. I'm so excited for this episode because we have our first guest. But before we get into that, let's just talk about life. Like, what's going on with you, Deep T?
Dude, life is pretty mundane for me. Not much going on. I have been staying in. We've been working on this podcast so much.
I know.
No drinking. And should we tell the people why we're not drinking that?
Well, we are looking into egg freezing.
Yes, we're going to freeze our eggs, baby.
Yeah, so we're in that process right now. So we're just trying to be at our most healthiest. And that includes, you know, cutting out drinking, eating healthy, exercising a little bit more. And then we're going to start treatment sometime soon. And obviously, we'll take you through that journey with us. But that's kind of what started the whole 30-day drinking challenge we're doing.
Yeah, I've been loving not drinking, actually. I've, like, been meditating more. I just feel like I wake up so clear-minded. I'm like, oh, I love this. I don't need a martini at dinner.
I know, same. Yeah. I feel so much better not drinking, not feeling hungover, you know, the day after a rowdy night. Yeah. So I feel really good.
Yeah. Also, guys, we, anytime we go to dinner now and, like, our friends are drinking, we're like, let's get some, what did we get last night? Ginger ale in a wine glass. We're like, can I just get it in a wine glass? I just want to feel cool.
I know. It's been really fun doing it with you, though, because at least I have, like, an accountability partner in this. So it's been nice. Let's go into some Love is Blind news.
Let's do it.
It looks like season 4 is filming after the altar.
Yes.
Yeah, based on some TikToks we've seen of filming crews with the cast and also things that they have posted on their Instagram stories where there's, like, cameramen or women in the shots with them. So I knew
it was coming.
I'm surprised that they're filming it so soon.
Honestly, I'm glad that they're filming it so soon because if they wait too long, all of the stuff that they film becomes irrelevant. You know, by the time that it gets aired, people have moved on, people are doing different things, and it's just like, okay, that's old news. So I'm kind of glad that they're filming it so quickly. Also, do you remember ever being able to post about it? Because I don't recall posting.
We did post about it, actually.
I remember
that there was news articles of, like, oh, the cast of Love is Blind is celebrating Natalie's birthday somewhere in Michigan.
Oh, well, you're right.
When we were actually filming after the altar.
But remember, I specifically recall when we were filming and I posted, like, a camera shot and they were like, you need to delete that immediately. Like, we could say that we were there for Natalie's birthday, but, like, not that anything, like, filming oriented was happening. I don't know if that was just my experience.
No, you might be right. I think that they said to not show, like, any of the camera stuff.
Right? Yeah, because they wanted it to be kind of a surprise.
Maybe,
well, surprise no more.
Well, maybe they're being, like, less strict with this cast.
Yeah, it feels like it. I feel like they're allowed to do whatever they want to do because there's just too many cast members now to keep track of.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Netflix confirms that Vanessa and Nick will continue to be the host of Love is Blind and that rumors that Lauren and Cameron will replace them, those are false.
I'm kind of, you know what, they can't replace mom and dad. They're the OGs.
I really like Lauren and Cameron, but, you know, I do like that Vanessa and Nick are staying as hosts. I think that they will learn from kind of their mistakes being called out and hopefully the season 5 reunion is better than ever.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, as much as we do, like you said, we love Lauren and Cameron. And if anything did happen where Nick and Vanessa couldn't do it anymore, I think I'd like to see Lauren and Cameron. That could be fun. But
I would too.
Yeah.
Even Tiffany and Brett.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Also, we saw that Micah posted a very sentimental video of a bunch of clips of her and Paul's love story. And that was a little confusing to me, but also it reminded me of when I posted me and Kyle's memory. So I think I understand why she did it, but I thought it was sweet.
I felt like she posted it as like a farewell to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And also because there were so many rumors, like the ones that we heard, mm-hmm. that her and Paul weren't a genuine couple. And, you know, even Zach called her out at the reunion show, like, you never intended to marry Paul anyways. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was kind of like an indirect response to that.
Yeah. That's kind of similar to my situation, because a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, you and Kyle are clout chasing. And that's why I posted that video, because I was like, there's so many beautiful memories here that you have not seen. And let me share them with you now, because I wasn't able to before. So I think I understand why she did it.
Yeah. I mean, does that change your opinion on their relationship? Because I know that we were really like pushing that they weren't mm-hmm. in a genuine relationship.
Here's where I stand with that. I think even if you know that you're not going to marry somebody, it doesn't mean you don't have feelings for them. You know, like, you can really care about somebody. And again, not saying that they trauma bonded, but they probably did. They went through this experience together. And, you know, I feel like they do have love for each other, but not enough to sustain a marriage.
That was my thought, too. Like, my opinion is, they never intended to really get married. Maybe more so on her part, just again, based on things that we've heard from our sources. But I think that along the way that they did develop feelings. I mean, they did date for a weekend after their wedding day. I'm not saying that.
Why did that sound so funny to me? They did date for a weekend.
But like, clearly there was like some feelings there where they were like, let's try it out for a weekend. And then, you know, she broke up with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was a sweet post. I thought Paul's comment was a little bit weird. He goes, together or not, I will always love you, or something like that. But then there's rumors that he has a girlfriend.
What?
Yeah, that's what people were commenting on.
Do you think he's filming
post.
With a new girlfriend on ETA?
You know what? There's some rumors about that he is going to include his girlfriend in some of the scenes. Whoa. But I'm not sure. I mean, I don't even know where that rumor came from.
Interesting.
But that's what I saw in the post of people being like, doesn't Paul have a girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So we'll see some new faces maybe in ATA, like along with Marshall's girlfriend too.
Yeah. It looks like Marshall's girlfriend is also filming some scenes with Tiffany and Brett. There was a bunch of TikToks on that. So mm-hmm. I think that we will see some new faces, like you said.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Ayana McNeely.
Welcome to Out of the
Stop it. You guys are nuts.
I knew having you on this podcast would be chaos.
We're way too comfortable with each other.
Guys, we have Ayana McNeely, season 2 castmate. And our best friend on the pod today. How are you?
I'm good, actually.
I'm so excited you're our first guest.
I'm excited to be y'all's first guest. I mean, Natalie was my first guest on my podcast, so it's like pretty cool that like...
Comes full circle.
I feel honored. I am so honored.
Thank you. We're honored to have you. Aww. Yeah, we're really lucky to have you. I know so much has been going on in your world recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just came out that Jarrett cheated on you during your marriage, and... You know, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But we're here to get to know you. Yeah. And we feel like this is really your place to tell your story.
Yeah. Because the crazy part is we already had this planned before even all this other stuff happened.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot that we planned this. And then like leading up all this, I'm like, oh, wow, the timing of things.
Planning on having you as our first guest.
Yeah. And not to mention also, like, you guys are very, very close. And we recently got close. So I'm excited for this because I feel like now I get to.
It's a bond.
Yeah. Like, I get to know you more and like peel back all the onion layers.
I always say people are like, they're trauma bonded. No, we
actually are.
We absolutely were trauma bonded, but we've taken that beyond beyond the trauma bond.
It started as a trauma bond and now it's a real friendship.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say a real, real bond.
That too. It is a real bond. Let's go from the very, very beginning.
Oh, in the beginning.
Let's start from the start.
In the beginning.
How did you end up on Love is Blind?
That's a great question.
Yeah, give us some details on your background, too.
So, you know, some people were reached out to. I applied.
I did, too.
Me, too.
Like a dumbass.
I applied. When I applied, this was literally smack dab in the middle of quarantine. It had just happened. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of tipsy when I applied, just like everybody else.
No, I was sober. But
me, too. A stone cold sober.
Oh, like, at least I have that excuse. You women.
Our conscious thought was like, let's apply.
Yes.
But I applied a little tipsy, but I was like, I think I'm ready for this. I believe I'm ready. And at that point, I had been single for, 2 years? And I was like, I want to find a husband. Like, I always considered that the ultimate relationship. And I was like, I think I'm ready. I want to be a wife. So I applied. Look, let me not tap. I applied, and I was shocked when they called me back like a week later. And I was confused. I was like, why me? And still, I question, why me? But I think they saw all the trauma. They were like, oh, yeah, that's gold. It's gold.
You think?
Got to put her on.
I think that's what it was. Because I was very, I mean, I'm a very, you guys know, I'm a very open, vulnerable person. Mm-hmm. Just very transparent. When you say vulnerable, very transparent person. And so I was very honest in my questionnaire. And I think they probably saw that. They're like, oh, yeah.
So you talked about everything because you mentioned some things on the show about just, you know, your childhood and some moments in your life that really shaped who you were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
About what? About the trauma?
Yeah. Just what it meant to kind of like share that during the application process and also talk about it on the show.
I always want to be as transparent as possible with anyone because I like to try my best to live authentically as possible. And I know that's usually the harder road because it opens me up to so much criticism, but it's okay. I can handle that. And so I knew going into the pods, like I wouldn't feel comfortable moving forward with anyone if they didn't know everything about me. And granted, I know that I realize in retrospect that opens you up to just like trauma dumping and like trauma bonding. It's always in retrospect, but I did learn my lesson. Nonetheless, like I wanted to make sure the person that I could potentially marry, you know, knows so much about me and where I came from and like how much I've worked through and how much I've healed through. And yeah, so, I mean, really,
how resilient I am.
But also just like the fact that I've been able to keep a soft heart even through all that stuff, because I'm proud of that.
Yeah. Why do you think you ultimately decided, okay, this is the route that I'm going to take. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on Love is Blind.
Because it's just like, honestly, actually, Lauren and Cameron.
Really?
I saw them and I was like, I want that. Like that's, I mean, it looks like it can work. And granted, we were only season two.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the pattern of like, oh, maybe this can't work. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's an anomaly if it's like a good, healthy couple. Yeah. But I saw Lauren and Cameron. I was like, I want that. And I feel like I can have that. I feel ready. I feel like I know myself. I have good self-awareness and emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can pinpoint that. I was wrong. But you know, like I felt like I could do that, that I was ready.
Yeah. I love that.
Why did you do the show, Deep D?
Why did I do? I wanted a unique love story.
Because it's so special. Unique.
Yes.
And that's why I said on the show, I was like, imagine like the story we would tell our kids. Yeah. Like, look how we met.
Exactly. Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. People ask me, like, you knew that there was going to be a fame piece or a social media piece. I'm like, that part scared me.
I actually turned down the opportunity in the application process like 3 times because of that aspect. Yes. And they kept reassuring me, like, it's not that kind of show, Ayana. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. Like, and I was warming up to the idea. But yeah, I definitely wanted a unique love story
too. Yes. Oh my god, I love that. Why did you do it, Natalie?
Here's the thing about me, I am very pessimistic. Like, if you really get to know me like as a person, it's, if you really know me, I have like a stone cold heart.
No, you
that
don't.
Is not true.
Okay, outwardly I do though.
I just want to say something about Natalie sees herself in the weirdest way.
Self-deprecating.
It's so self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm. I do.
If you give Natalie a compliment, immediately she can
like
say
cringes.
10 bad things about herself. Yes. And I'm like, no. And so I started this thing with her. I'm like, if I compliment you, you can't say anything but thank you. And she cringed. She cringed so hard. And I'm like, Natalie, she has a heart of, I would not be friends with you if you did not have a heart of gold.
I agree.
And I promise
you
that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe I won't say I have a cold heart. I'll say I'm very pessimistic.
You are very.
So when I applied to the show, I really did it because I was like, well, it could potentially work, but it probably wouldn't. But it would be a really cool experience because I'm so bored during this pandemic and being in quarantine. It'd be a really cool experiment or experience to like be on a TV set or a reality TV set. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it for like to become an influencer because let's be real.
What are we
influencing? And I just want to say this. We didn't go in being like, we could be an influencer. Like, yeah. First of all, I dressed very normal.
Didn't
I was
you like, have like 500 followers before or something?
Yeah, I only had like 420 followers.
Stop.
But I was like, I barely post on social media.
Same.
I dress very like normally. I don't have a particularly unique personality or look.
Dude.
And I'm like, how am I going to be an influencer? Like, no one thinks like that if you're just a normal
person. Exactly.
Like, working person.
Yeah.
But I really went in more so for the experience and being like, oh, cool. Like I was a part of this. But did I think I was going to get engaged? No.
I didn't either, though.
Yeah. Really?
I didn't pack enough clothes.
For some reason.
Yeah, because you had to borrow some clothes.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't pack enough clothes because I was like, I'm not going
to. I remember that, actually.
Yeah, I'm not going to stay there for.
Wait, that was the opposite for me.
I got smacked with an intense experience. No one, I will say, none of us expected it. To be that intense.
Yeah.
It was so intense.
I had a weird feeling that I was going to. Like find somebody.
Really?
But I think I found myself, baby, because honestly, it wasn't what I expected.
I mean, you found him. But,
yeah,
you
know. I found someone.
No, I was not expecting to get engaged at all. I really just went in because I thought it would be a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. And a part of me was like, well, if it works, like so cool, but it probably won't. And I'm just going to go in because like maybe I'll be in the background and I could tell my friends like, oh, there, you know, there's
me.
Gosh,
that's so funny.
And then it just blew up in my face.
I remember it blew up in all of our faces.
Yeah,
what was it like walking in the pods for you and just like the first days of dating?
It was interesting. I would say definitely intense. We were in a bubble. We were all in a bubble. And I think that led to the intensity. Mm-hmm. But I remember going in there and thinking, I don't trust any of these bitches. I don't know any of these women. I'm not here to make friends. And you guys remember, I'd just be in there like reading my book, not paying attention to anyone and just kind of observing. But my sole goal was to just go in the pods and be just myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And I will say I'm a pretty good conversationalist. At least I like to think so. Yeah. And I knew I would attract, I knew I would attract people who would be attracted to me, but that's a joke now. But anyways.
Wait, why is that a joke? I feel like you did attract
A
few guys.
I mean, I did. I think I just chose poorly.
Because
our selections weren't that great.
No, our selections weren't great, but also I think you had to go through what you went through.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was the right person for you.
I learned so many lessons. Mm-hmm. So many lessons, and I love that for me.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So on the show, viewers only see you connect with Jared. Like they don't see your other connections.
Yeah.
But who were your other connections?
Oh my God. I actually, people love, Jared, she's second choice. I actually also had a second choice. I just figured mine out a day before Jared did. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say his name. What if he's like, I don't want that attention. Whatever.
I don't need yours.
Hasibi. He was actually my other connection. And it was so, I think all of us had the same dilemma of having two choices that were so different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this one will provide a completely different life. And this one feels familiar. And I feel like everyone had the same kind of choices, right? Because we all had like two options. And then we were trying to figure it out. Well, except for
I was
Natalie.
Just gonna say, except for Natalie.
Natalie, like it was day three. She's like, "Well, this is my."
I know. I had to cut Shane because of that reason.
I remember. Oh, everyone did.
Yes.
Well, first of all, he was never on my list.
Yeah, you caught him day one, I feel
day
like.
Day one, I was like, ew, his voice. No, I can't do it. I'm sorry, Shane, I love you. But I was like, I can't do the voice, man.
Yeah, I... Okay, so my other one was Rocky. But...
I kind of wish you hadn't.
Me too. I like Rocky.
I do like Rocky a lot. Like, not currently.
Not currently. Well,
like, I like him as a person a lot.
He has a whole fiance, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
No, he has a girlfriend. Yes.
Like a live-in girlfriend.
Yes. I like Rocky as a person. Like, I really, really like him. And I do think that we would have gotten...
I think you guys would have been a lot more
compatible. I do think that we would have gotten along better than Shane and I did.
Yeah.
I do not know why I was so hardcore on Shane. I was so sure, like...
You were.
When I met him that. Day three, I was like, this man's going to be my husband. I got him.
And I was so confused because at that point, I had only talked to him on day one, but I was like, huh?
Yeah, she came in.
Everyone was like, huh?
Everyone's like, this is the most unlikely. But I mean, you guys are so high energy. Well,
I want to know Natalie in the pods, to be honest.
I think now that you know me, I'm not as high energy
as
you
much
thought.
As he is.
Yeah.
But you still are very high energy. You're
really?
A nut. You're a nut. Natalie, we'll be in the club and she'll put her, you've seen her,
twerking.
Put her legs up on the wall and start
drop it to the
twerk.
Floor.
Wait, try to twerk. Not say twerking, Ooh. But try to twerk.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've never tried to twerk in my life.
Oh, in the splits. Don't even get me started
with
the splits.
Oh my God, the splits and the heels too.
Watch what I can do.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought this interview was about
let's come back
me.
To Ayana.
But you know what's crazy? And I think we've talked about this before, but not openly, about how you and I didn't get along.
It's
in
not
the
that
lounge.
We didn't get along.
No, you hated her. Don't lie.
It's not that I even. I was just like, yeah, don't like that one. It's because you were hanging out with some a questionable person, and I was like, Ooh. I know. Don't do that. Oh. Don't do that. But I knew I could tell pretty quickly, like, she did not have good character. And immediately I was like, if you're going to be friends with her, that means that's what you're attracted to. And I don't need that.
Wow.
Just, yeah. But because I saw I had more exposure to you guys. So I felt like I could make a better judgment. Granted, though, I realize in retrospect, just like we didn't know the guys that well, we didn't know each other that well.
Yeah.
And so we were making very quick observations about each other based off of like these small interactions we were having in the lounge.
Yeah.
Because we all stayed in our own separate hotel rooms because this is when COVID was happening.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But you know, I did love that you and I connected though a little bit because
did.
You were in the, you would like sit and read and yes. I was like, I really want to get to know her and like kind of penetrate and like kind of get
did.
Deep. Yeah.
I relied on you quite a bit. You and Juhi.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I love those moments actually.
I mean, those got me through. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't a part of those moments because Ayana hated me.
You were
me.
In the corner eating ding dongs with your other friends.
Literally. I was like, this girl is crazy. She's insane.
Remember with the cutting?
I gained 11 pounds in the pod.
Oh yeah, you did. Didn't you?
Yeah.
I think I was opposite. I lost like 12.
I think there was a scale in Mexico.
I was so much because I was so anxious.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
Every single morning, I was so anxious just based off of like the decision I had to make. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is heavy. Like, what am I doing? I don't trust myself. And then on top of the fact, you can't call like family and friends to like get their insight. And I think if I had my friends would have been like, I don't know what.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Say no. What are you doing? but like, because I didn't have that, I knew it was just me. And I at that point, I didn't completely trust myself. And I was so anxious about it.
Yeah.
So speaking about making decisions, why did you choose Jarrett over Haseeb?
I chose Jarrett because I really genuinely thought that was the better choice for me. Me and Haseeb had the huge barrier of different religions. And at the end of the day, I was like, I don't know if this is going to, I don't think this is compatible. I know some people can do it, but like when we start having kids, I feel like it's going to be so complicated. And I was thinking so far ahead that I wanted to make sure I chose correctly. But I just thought that Jarrett was a lot more compatible with me. Now, in retrospect, I also realized that like being in that experiment, it does kind of higher the chances of like trauma bonding and love bombing and stuff. Because I thought like Jarrett genuinely was introspective and I was like, okay, this is a good fit. Not realizing that it was just the experiment that allowed him the opportunity to be that, but he wasn't naturally that way.
Yeah. And also there's so many emotions flying around that you kind of like confuse it with love. And it's like, no, I'm just
high.
Yes. And you're like, I am connected to this person. Yes. I know this is going to be my
I know them.
Dude.
I know them. You feel like you genuinely know their soul.
Yes. And it's so
what
easy.
What I also realize is, like, if that person doesn't know themselves well enough, they'll just present who they believe that they are.
Yes.
And it's not until, like, the proper amount of time has gone by of mm-hmm. actually dating this person, because I don't think that really happens. You don't really genuinely start to get a feel for someone until, like, 3 to 4 months in.
I completely
And we had,
agree.
What, 2 months?
Yes. I also I also think people have to go through seasons with people to see who they really are, because they portray who they want to be, not who they actually are.
I agree. And I think that's where I realize in retrospect to, like, Ayana, never go that fast again. What are you doing? I mean, of course I'll never, like, get engaged that fast. But even just, like, committing to anyone, like, I'll never commit to anyone until, like, at least I get a feel for who they actually are. And there's been a true foundation of building actual trust.
Mm-hmm. So, like, tell us, like, after you got engaged, what was your experience like leading up to the altar moment?
Oh my God. We had issues, like, with him going out and stuff, but we kept having the conversations and we were never, like, truly arguing, but it was a simple conversation, like, hey, this makes me really uncomfortable. And he always handled them very well, and he was always so reassuring. And so I was like, okay, well, I feel like this isn't going to be a real issue. And on top of that, we were like, we just took on this idea of, like, it's us against the world, because we went into it thinking, like, oh, reality TV, like, it's going to be messy. And we were just like, we have to protect ourselves. And I think it wasn't until after the cameras left and we stood and just looked at each other and, like, oh my God, what do we do now? Like, what do we do now? But yeah, I leading up to it, yeah, there were some issues. But I mean, I will say I ignored quite a few what felt like yellow flags for me at the time, because I didn't see a lot of the things that the audience saw. I didn't see, like, how he was talking to his friends or how his friends were talking about him. I didn't see how he was talking to his sister or how his sister was talking about him. Like, I didn't see those things. I didn't even see the conversation with Mal or how upset he was with the conversation with Mal. Like, yeah. I didn't see any of that. And so I was only going based off of, you know, what he was telling me and how he was reassuring me. And that felt safe enough. So I felt comfortable. That's the thing. I didn't feel comfortable enough to say yes. On the wedding day, I almost said no.
Really? I remember that.
Yeah.
So Ayana and I, we got the closest when we returned back to Chicago after Mexico.
That's when I had a moment of vulnerability, because I saw you were struggling too, and I could tell you were struggling behind the scenes. And I was like, I feel like I want to reach out to her. But at that time, we were so paranoid. We were like, we don't know who we can trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I decided to reach out to you, and I was like, do you want to just meet and just, like, talk?
I remember that. And then we talked about, like, we had this very vulnerable conversation of, like, how ready
sure
are we to say yes on our wedding day? Because I think you and I were going through the same thing of wanting to protect our relationships. We had, Shane and I had that same mentality of, or at least I did, of, it's me against production or reality TV. I got to protect my relationship as much as I can. But you get confused of, like, is that protection because I really, really want to say yes to this person? At the time I did, but then I also was like, but is it the right choice to say yes?
Yeah.
It's a very confusing feeling when you're in it.
It was a super confusing thing. It was so confusing.
Yeah.
So confusing.
Even for me, like, knowing Shake and I were probably going to say no, it was still confusing for me.
Yeah.
But that moment when I talked to you at the bachelorette party was this solidifying moment
God,
for me. I was just like,
I was
oh,
just
wait.
Like, Deeps, no.
Yes. And
no,
I was like, Deeps. You're right. What am I doing?
Like, this why doesn't speak highly of you.
Yeah.
No. You don't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. That was a very eye-opening moment for me.
We were over there crying.
I know.
We were tipsy as hell.
Yes.
We were just crying on that rinky-dinky boat.
Yes.
And then you guys were crying in my bathroom later that night.
Oh, we were?
Yeah. I remember that.
Because
we all met
that.
Up afterwards.
Yeah,
remember?
Remember all of us?
In her apartment.
And I'm, like, dealing with my own problems that night. And
you're
then
like,
you guys
can
are
you
crying
not?
In my bathroom. And I walk in my bathroom and I was like, what are you guys doing here?
We're like, leave us alone.
We're having a moment.
And then I'm sitting there listening, but I have no idea what's going on. I was like, and
can you
it was crazy.
Not?
Yeah.
Literally.
It was, that night was, that, I mean, for me, it was crazy, but, like, it just in general, there's so much that happened that night. Mm-hmm. Like, in
there
terms
was
of
a
like,
lot that happened that night. Cause didn't,
well, I was like, other relationships were kind of like crumbling around us.
Literally.
There was just like other fights.
There was so
happening.
Much pressure. It was just like, whoa, we're all in a pressure cooker.
And everyone's been drinking,
we're
and I'm like,
what?
So that was crazy. Do you think that if you watched the show, like if you knew everything that was happening behind the scenes?
I would have said no. I would have straight up said no.
Really?
I absolutely would have said no because I was so.
Love is blinding. It's not even blind. Love is blinding.
But I didn't see a lot. And again, I was just going based off of his words. But again, I almost said no on the wedding day. And I texted him. I texted my producer. I said, I'm saying no, I can't do this. Because he was out till 4 o'clock in the morning that day.
You're right. Oh, wow.
And the thing is like, I don't know much about, at the time, I didn't know much about the club scene. Mm-hmm. And because I don't like clubs. They're so overstimulating. And I don't understand.
And you were new to Chicago too, right?
I had just moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Literally just moved to Chicago. So I didn't know about the club scene. I didn't know what a club promoter job entails. Mm-hmm. And so I was texting. I was like, I have to say no. Like, I can't deal with this. I'm like, you're saying this isn't you, but I'm seeing otherwise. And then after that, he just showed up randomly at my hotel that morning at like 5 a.m. in the morning. And he was convincing me, like, please say, I promise you this isn't me. Like, this isn't typical behavior. It's because of COVID. I've missed my friends. Like, I haven't been going out. And I understood that because of COVID, I was so heavily introverted. And I'm not that introvert. You guys see me. Yeah. I'm not that introverted. But because it was straight after COVID or during COVID, I was like, oh, I just don't, like, everything is so overstimulating. I just want to be in the house. And so I understood to a degree and I believed him. And then I said yes.
When did you start regretting saying yes?
It was probably about 2 to 3 months in when I had the proper that amount soon. Of time to actually get to know him. And that's when I realized, like, I made a mistake. Because I remember he was already doing the going out thing and it kept going. And then I would text him and he'd just ignore me. But then he'd respond, like, every 2 hours with, like, a picture. No, look, it's fun. I'm just out with the guys. And I'm just like, this isn't appropriate behavior. And he'd come home when the sun was up. And I'm like, dude, what is this? And that's when I realized, like, oh man, I made a mistake. But at that point, I'm already married and I took vows and I took that very seriously. And I was like, I have a role to play. This is my husband. I have to at least try to, you know, make it work and put my all into it.
Yeah. I think that's what I was going to ask you, is if you knew 2-3 months in that you were regretting it already, what made you wait so long?
Yeah.
You know, before you...
I just wanted to make sure I gave him the appropriate amount of time, because that was his biggest complaint. You're not giving me enough time. You're not giving me enough time. And so I said, okay, well, let's set ourselves up for success. And so only about 5 to 6 months in, I was like, we have to do therapy. Like, and he was resistant to that. And I was like, no, I don't want to give you an ultimatum, but I need someone who will grow with me and I need you to want this. And he's like, okay, fine, let's do it. And then that's when we started therapy. It was like December of that month. And we had only been married for like 5 months at that point. But then we started therapy, and therapy was so helpful for me personally, because she was questioning things about my mindset and about my perspective and how I was reacting in it, because I did have a lot of insecurity. Granted, it was through his behavior, but I didn't like that I couldn't maintain integrity and not reacting in a way, because I felt like the only way that I could get the truth sometime was like going through his phone. And that's not me. That's really not me. I'm not that person. I don't like, that's an invasion of privacy. But he would just either tell half truths or lie or just like not say things at all. And therapy is so helpful for me. And she was like, Ayana, where's this coming from? And she did, because I therapize myself. You hear me. I ramble all the time. And I'm constantly like therapizing. But all she had to do was ask a question, and immediately I'd question myself. And it was so challenging, but it was so good. I loved it.
I think your intuition was really kicking in. Oh, like, check that phone. Something is happening.
Bro, do you remember this? It was months before I even received, you know, the email. And I kept saying, because I got to know him and I got to know his character, and I kept saying, I feel like I'm going to get a message. I feel like I'm going to get a DM. I'm going to get something. I'm yeah. gonna get
you manifested that shit.
It happened.
Well, I didn't want her to manifest it.
No,
I think so I lived it through you, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because you shared, like, every time something would happen, you would call me and be like, he's not home and it's 7 a.m.
Or I'd be downward spiraling.
I found this on his phone, or I found a girl's number in his car.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, why are you holding on? Like, even then, I was like, you are just holding on to, like, a thread.
Yeah.
You tried so hard in that marriage.
I really did.
When did you find out he cheated on you?
Yeah.
I found out 3 days before, after the altar started filming. which was a lot for me. And that's another, I'm not going to lie, although like you are a big support for me and I'm happy I talked to you and I'm happy I talked to my mom, that was another regret that I had, that I included too many people in our marriage. I should have just stuck to talking to my mom, someone who was like she was an expert. I won't say an expert in marriage, but she's been married for like longer than a decade and a half. But nonetheless, like, you remember, as soon as I got that email, I was literally sitting in between his legs while he was taking out my knotless braids. Mm-hmm. And I get this email with details, and I immediately go into fury mode. Yeah. And I call, and I'm like, I'm divorcing him. I can't do it. I even call production and say, you're going to have to film us separately. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then I called my mom, and my mom said, I'm not saying leave him. I'm not saying don't leave him. What I am saying is you're making a rash decision out of a high emotion. I want you to make this decision with a clear head. And she was right. Mm-hmm. But the thing is I didn't have enough time to process. It was literally 3 days after the altar, before we were about to be on camera again. And I was going to be put in a position to protect us again. But I realized I was carrying the weight by myself. In retrospect, I realized I was carrying it by myself. Oh. But nonetheless, like, I told Jared, I don't want to be inauthentic. So I don't want to pretend like we're perfect. We're not perfect. So let's just talk about something that's we've already talked about that actually is still an issue. Let's just focus on you. And he agreed. He said, okay.
What did that email say that you received?
The first email was just saying that he invited two women, to her and her friend, to our home. And she said, if you want further details, I can give them. And when I mentioned it to Jared was like, she's lying. I know she's lying. I never did that. I never brought anyone to our home. And so I asked for further details, and she knew my address. She knew my apartment number. She knew it was beside my bed. She knew it was in my living room. She knew a lot. She knew details about him that I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? Like, are you serious? And it was exactly what I was looking for. For that final thing to make me feel like I can leave, but then I stayed.
Did you believe the email immediately when you read it?
Immediately, yes, because it was a gut intuition. I knew his character, and I knew he was capable of that. And for a second, I questioned, like, well, maybe let me really look at the facts here. But the show was at its peak at that point. This woman could have made a TikTok. This woman could have even tweeted something.
Yeah.
She could have done anything, and she didn't. She literally was just like, I feel like you should know this. I really feel like you should know. It's not fair to you that you don't know. And I'm so happy that she did. Mm-hmm. I even messaged her. And it's been a year since that point. I messaged her even like a few months ago saying, thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. Because this was the beginning of me beginning to detach and mourn and just leave, because I needed to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is like, why did you believe her over Jared? And it's
because I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was already doing things like he loved to live in the gray and then gaslight me because he was only in the gray. Mm-hmm. This wasn't gray, though. He was kissing this woman and groping her in my bed. Mm-hmm. With the intention of cheating. Great. Oh, it was cheating. He loves to say that's not cheating, but with the intention of having sex with her. And it wasn't until her friend noticed my things in the bathroom. And her friend said, wait a second, do you have a girlfriend? And he said, I have a wife. And they said, oh, we got to get out of here. And they left.
Yeah. And Jared did a Instagram live talking about this a few days ago. And he's denying that, you know, he ever kissed her or groped another woman.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me is like, okay, let's say that didn't happen. You were invited two random women to our home with the excuse of I was just being nice, and they were drunk, and I wanted to be what? Like, does Uber not exist? Yeah. I'm confused.
Are we not grown adults?
You knew you were a married man. That's not appropriate for a married man.
That's exactly what I thought watching his live when he said, oh, I was in the other room and I heard the woman say, oh, this guy's got a whole girlfriend. Why did he invite us here? And that just proves that he wasn't giving off the energy of a single man. And that's why she was surprised.
He was married. Like, was he not wearing his wedding ring? Like, what is it?
Right.
But I was really disheartened by that live. I was pretty disappointed, because me talking about this wasn't with the intention of just outing him. I have a podcast that's about relationships and healing and trauma. And for months, I haven't been able to really talk about my journey. And I just felt so inauthentic. Like, I felt like a hypocrite. I'm like, I can't even talk about this.
Jared also said on his Instagram live that there was a situation where he caught you with another man or holding hands with another man one night.
Yeah. But I just want to also point out in that live, he made sure to say, yeah, go ask her, because he knew that I would be honest about it. And he knew that I would be transparent about it, because I, if anything, I will continue to profusely apologize for this situation. And I don't mind taking accountability. But I would never say go ask Jared, because I know what his response would be. But nonetheless, the situation, this was what, a month into our marriage, and I went out. You know, I'm smaller than you guys, so I can't drink as much. So everyone's like, oh, let me get a drink. And I'm like, yeah, give me one too. And so at some point we were at that rooftop, and then I blacked out. And an hour later, because I made sure to check my text messages, because I thought, am I tripping? Like, maybe I did. Maybe it was hours. Maybe, you know. But I checked my text messages, and it was an hour later where Jared was trying to pick me up. But I ended up at Celeste. I ended up at Celeste, and I came to there, and I remember I was around the bar or something, and some guy just kept trying to talk to me, and I was like, no, like, I'm married. I was like, I actually just got married, and I was like showing him my wedding ring. But I remember he kept following me around, and I'm at this point, I'm so drunk, and I remember Jared texting me like, hey, I just got off of work, like, can I come pick you up? I'm like, yeah, come pick me up, please let me know when you're here. But my texts were so illegible, it was just like, what is happening? And I remember trying to send him my location, but instead I sent him his contact information. It was just too much. But thankfully he did have my location, and he came to find me. He was like roaming in Celeste. And by the time he came forward, I remember I was trying to walk toward the stairs because he said he was there, and I was trying to leave, but the guy was behind me. Jared said we were holding hands. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't remember holding hands with him. But I do remember him being behind me. And when Jared approached, he's like, all right, Ayana, it's time to go. And the guy goes like, oh, she's good, bro.
Oh,
yeah. And I'm surprised Jared didn't punch him in the face then, because quite honestly, like, how disrespectful. Yeah. But we leave right after that, and I remember saying like, oh, wasn't it nice that guy was checking on me? That's so sweet. And Jared got upset. Of course he got upset. But at this point, I'm belligerently drunk. And then at that point, I black out again. I woke up the next morning. The shower curtain was broken because apparently I had fallen in the shower. Like, it was just too much. It was a lot.
When he mentioned that on his Instagram live, it almost felt like he was saying, well, she did this to me, so I'm justified that this happened.
The part that confuses me is that, and I don't want to speak ill of him, but at the same time, it's like, why did you even mention that? Because it's not comparable. I'm not saying, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it was acceptable behavior. What I am saying, it's not comparable. But the next day, I checked my text messages. The next day, he does express like, please just never let that happen again. Like, that put me in a really bad headspace. And I said, I understand. Like, I was very concerned by my own behavior. That'll never be repeated behavior. I love you. And he sent me a kissy face, and I sent him some dramatic ass gif because that's what I do. then that was it. He never mentioned it again until a year later when I asked for a divorce. And I remember telling my therapist, like, oh, I just want to have a few closeout sessions to make sure, you know, we're coping well and to make sure we're on the same page about moving forward, because our marriage is very public and I wanted to make sure we were both protected. And it was then during those closeout sessions that he brought it back up, and he kept bringing it up day after day, and I kept apologizing. At some point I realized, Jared, it kind of feels like you want to stay angry to make yourself feel better about the dissolution of our marriage and your behavior causing the dissolution of our marriage, because at the end of the day, it's not the incompatibility why we divorced, it's my lack of trust for him, because he continued to do things that were just like, just not appropriate.
Yeah. For me, watching that live, it made it seem like, okay, let me just kind of displace the, like, project
reflect.
The, yeah, and then just like, let's have this entire thing, like, all the attention go to Ayana in this situation, and like, get it off of this email and this cheating that's been exposed.
The part that also kills me is I never spoke ill of this man. I simply said, I'm tired of protecting you, and we've had this conversation before where I told him, I feel like at some point I'm gonna get there where I don't want to lie anymore, and I can't protect you anymore, and especially with you feeding off of the lie, and you see the criticism that I get, that I was hypercritical during after the altar, and that I wasn't patient enough for you, and you fed into it, and you also said the same thing when in reality you knew behind the scenes scenes. I was really trying my best to forgive you and move forward and everything. But it was his continued behavior that led to just like me saying, like, I can't do it, man. I can't give you this much grace. It's just not okay for me. It's at my expense.
Speaking about protecting, why did you essentially protect Jared during after the altar?
Well, during the after the altar, I realized I didn't have enough time to process the fact that he had cheated, and I had to make a very quick decision about, like, what am I going to do? And I didn't know what I was going to do, and so I moved forward with what I thought was the wisest decision of, I have to protect my marriage until I figure it out. And so I did. And even with the divorce, it took me a really long time to detach as his wife and the role that I felt like I had to play as his wife, and because I grew to know him and I knew why he was the way that he was, and that's, God, that's the downside of being an empath, you know, mm-hmm. what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
Of being an empath, because you want to be helpful so bad, and it's hard for us to have boundaries sometimes with that because you don't know what's too far until after the fact.
It's crazy because I like think about ATA and I was so angry at him for you. And I saw how much you were pretending, like you guys were honest, like there's problems, but you were hiding so much of what was really going on. And I remember wanting to like punch him in the face every time.
Even still, Natalie's yeah. like, oh,
yeah. Every time I saw him
yeah.
and I couldn't because I had to kind of go along with yeah. you wanting to protect your marriage, because who am I? Just your best friend. But I was all like, it's ultimately, you know, your life and your choice. But I remember feeling so angry at him, and I don't know how you kept it together, because I wanted to crack honestly. So easily during AT and just reveal it all for you.
And because production knew at that point, and yeah. you know, they were like, you should talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
And I couldn't do it.
You know, it's interesting because I was in a 6-year relationship before Love is Blind, and oh, wow. he cheated on me,
yeah.
but I didn't tell any of my friends yeah. and I went through it alone. And it's kind of similar because you don't want, just because you have hope that the relationship is going to work out and your marriage is going to work, that you keep it to yourself because you don't want other people to see him in a different light.
And I didn't. I wanted to give him the best chance possible to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that wouldn't have happened if people were coming at him. I mean, even now, that's why I protected him even after the fact, because I was just like, I just want him to grow. I want him to grow, and I want to give him the opportunity. And I remember I kept pleading with him after the divorce, Jared, please talk about it on your podcast. Just be honest. You have a whole podcast. Be authentic about it. Be transparent about it. And he was just like, no. And I was like, well, okay, well, I feel like I'm getting to the point where I want to talk about it. I was like, don't you want to come on my podcast and have an honest conversation? He's like, no.
Oh, so you actually talked to him about it? Like,
oh,
let's
yes,
talk.
Plenty. Wow. Plenty. I was like, bro, I don't want to do that. Like, don't put me in a position where I have to like protect myself, or even just like where, yeah, don't put me in this position, man. Like, just be honest.
Well, he's still not being honest, because on his Instagram live, he said that he didn't cheat on you. He said that he didn't kiss the girls and that he just brought them over to have a few drinks, and he, you know, went to go lay down in his bedroom.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
But I have a picture of this woman in his clothes in my living room.
Do you think that that's the only incident?
I don't know. And I don't want to say that there is more, but I will say that there were quite a few just gray area things mm-hmm. that kept coming up. And I was like, this isn't appropriate for a married man. It's just not. And he would gaslight the hell out of me. And I'd believe him. I mean, that's what manipulation is. that's what it is. Because I was his wife. And I was like, this man is my husband. Like, why else would he marry me? Why would he say yes if he didn't want this to work, if he didn't want to try to make it work? You know, it didn't make sense to me. It's like, why do you want to continue to stay? Because I looked through my text messages, and I saw in May I was advocating for a divorce. And I was like, Jared, just be honest with me. You don't want to be with me. You don't want to be with me. He's like, no, you don't understand. I love you. I really love you. He's like, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to be a better man for you. And I'm like, what, Jared? And then that's another thing. He admitted to me that, yes, he did cheat.
Mm.
But then, like,
that.
Publicly, like,
yeah.
It just feels like a slap in the face.
What caused you to finally ask for a separation and ultimately a divorce?
There was a specific scenario where I realized, like, and I clearly saw, it's like my eyes open. I clearly saw the gaslighting, and because it was a terrible lie, it was hard for anyone to see it. And I was like, bro, what? I was like, you sound dumb right now. Please stop. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore. And he didn't, when I told him I wanted a divorce, he didn't say anything because he knew at that point I was fed up. Mm-hmm. I was fed up. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did he fight to keep this marriage?
No, working? He knew that there was no fighting. Even when we finally told his parents, because his parents were the last people to know. Mm-hmm. When we told his parents were looking at him like, dude, fight. What are you doing? And he was just like looking down with his head down.
Wow.
He didn't have any fight in him.
I'm thinking back to when you and Jared announced your separation in a joint statement. And I think the sentiment was they're having a pretty amicable separation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who wrote that statement, and was it your decision to have it written the way it was?
Yes, it was definitely my decision and my statement. Because I went straight into planning mode. And I was like, I know you're going to get blamed for this, Jarrett. You're going to get blamed for this. And I was like, I don't want that for you. I don't think the shushes and the jays of the world deserve to be bashed. Like, I just don't.
The shushes, the what?
Shushes and the jays, you know, Shane, Shank, Shana, Jackie, Jarrett. Like, the shushes and the jays of the world I don't think anyone deserves to get bashed like that, quite honestly. It's not normal. And that's why I keep saying, like, we're living a very human experience abnormally in front of thousands of people. And granted, we chose this life. I hate saying that, but we did choose this.
We
life.
Did.
And we continue to use our platforms, and we're trying our best to be real and honest, but we're processing like everyone else is. So I only got divorced, 5 months ago? Not even 6 months. And I'm having more and more revelations. I'm learning more and more about myself, and I'm processing just like everybody else.
Because one of the things that Jared also said on his Instagram Live is that after the divorce, like, you guys were cool. Like,
but we were cool because I was lying to the public. And I try my best to live my life authentically. So because I was saying that we were friends in social media, I actually tried to be a support for him, because technically he has support. He doesn't have healthy support, though. And so I tried my best to be, because I knew I was one of the only ones. And I was also one of the only ones to hold him like truly accountable. And he had no choice but to listen to my accountability because I was his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, his friends, he can completely dismiss. It's like, whatever, he's a grown ass man. Right. But like, as his wife, it was different, which is probably why he also didn't want to come home to me, because like,
he didn't want to face the responsibilities.
He didn't want to face the responsibility that he signed up for. It's not like, even with the second choice, people love to say that, oh, but you were his second choice. Jared would have cheated on anyone because he was unhealed. Mm. And that's just the truth. I mean, again, I don't think he's a bad person. He's just unhealed. He's so unhealed. And he refuses to take accountability for his healing journey. And I realize eventually, it's not my responsibility. I can't do it for you, man. And I want someone who will grow with me. And I love being growth mindset. It's so uncomfortable, but I love it. And he wasn't willing to face that uncomfortability.
Yeah.
And that's the true truth of it.
So people think that there was a contract in place to why you guys couldn't come out with your divorce. Is that accurate?
No. The year was my personal deadline. I was like, I want to give it at least a year. I feel like that's plenty of time for someone to at least show that they want to actually change their lifestyle. But again, Jarrett was saying one thing and doing something else. And so after the year mark, I had to reanalyze. And I was like, no. It was like a year and a month, and then something else happened. And then that's when I was like, yeah, no.
I remember there were so many people speculating, oh, there must be a contract in place because Nick and Danielle, you know, also, you know, were divorcing a week after you announced your separation. So I remember people being like, they just stayed together for the show. And it was so stupid.
If I did, I wouldn't have announced it before after the altar. I would have just kept it pushing. Exactly. But I knew that people were going to call me like, oh, you guys were just faking it. And so that's why I was like, no, we're about to announce this now. I'm not about to fake it for the next couple of months. Like, that's just not going to happen. But I mean, Danielle talked about that. She said the fact that like I decided to move forward with my divorce gave her the courage to do that as well.
Yeah.
And that was just like, that's just what happened. Yeah. I mean, granted, the timing, I get it. It's suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
But yeah.
another level of trauma bonding for you and Danielle
literally,
too.
Literally, we're all trauma bonded. Yeah. Oh my God, sorry. We're all trauma bonded.
Well, how are you today?
I feel so free right now.
I love that.
I feel so free right now.
I can tell.
I feel so much lighter because I was carrying that all by myself and in secrecy. Yeah. And I'm just happy now that I can, because again, the reason why I did talk about it eventually is because like I wanted to be honest with my podcast community that I've built by myself and outside of the show. And they're like-minded people just like me who want to grow. And I don't have a podcast because I pretend to be an expert. I'm not an expert of life. Like I'm figuring out just like everybody else. Yeah. Everyone's like, I got to hire you getting through. Bitch, I don't know, but like, let's figure it out together. And I love that. And I can be honest about that healing journey for myself now. And that makes me a lot.
Like, even though you're the youngest from the cast, I feel like you're such an old soul. And like, I love talking to you.
In a 12 year old body.
But yeah, you just have so much like emotional intelligence. And that's why I connect with you so much. I feel like not everyone around us understands life in the same way. Yeah. And so it's just like a different level of conversations that, you know, I'm able to have with you. Yeah, so, but yeah, I just wanted to say I'm proud of you. And also, can you tell us, are you dating?
Ooh, the big question. I actually am dating. I know people see me going through all this shit and they're like, you're not ready. The thing is like, I have the energy now. I have the reservoir to like give my full self to a relationship. I know, right?
The reservoir.
To give to myself to a full relationship. And I'm very self-aware. You guys have seen, I'm constantly analyzing myself. So I know that like, if I do discover another trigger, like I can quickly address it. And so now I know, like, I'm ready to get out there and start dating, which is
cray-cray. Yay.
I love that.
We're gonna go on double dates, triple dates.
Honestly, let's do it.
Can we just date each other? Because I can't. I'm kidding.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if me and Natalie end up just like living in the same house. Let's raise a kid together.
We've actually talked about it, be like, should we just like adopt a kid together, raise it?
Yeah, let's just do life together because I'm tired.
Yeah. Tell us like what's coming up for you, like what's ahead, what are you working on?
Really, it's just like working on my podcast just continuing to learn more about myself and grow and build. And I don't know where this is gonna go, but quite honestly, I think this is the first time in my life where I feel so confident in myself, and now I can actually trust my intuition because I know my intuition is right. I don't have to convince myself. I gotta, you're so traumatized, you can't trust yourself. I know I can. And I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just excited.
Can you tell us where we can listen to your podcast?
Yeah, my podcast is called Fill in the Blank, F-E-E-L in the blank. Clever name, right?
Thank you.
But yeah, you can find us on YouTube, on Instagram, on, I know the link is in my personal bio at Ayana.Amore. So yeah, YouTube, Instagram, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, like literally everything. So yeah, just search us and you'll see, you know, two friends just trying to figure out life, basically.
Well, thanks so much, Ayana, for being here and being our first guest. We are so proud of you and we wish you the best in life. And we're so excited to experience life together moving forward.
Yes, love
you. Thanks for being on.
Yay.
As always, we love getting your comments and your questions. So please continue sending them to our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And as always, make sure you leave a review and subscribe. Deepti and I will be chatting with more guests in the future, so you don't want to miss what they have to say. See you next Monday.
Bye.